This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
New from Nippy's Double Shot Ice Latte. It's double espresso, double strong. Now available in stores.
And they could never, ever tear us apart.
What is this?
We'll never stop. It's like we've got an album of greatest hits. Shut it down.
Hey?
Welcome to The Bump. You got Roo, Bernie and Dits.
No, keeping a lid on. Show, is it?
Nine in a row.
Club record.
Look, can we start with Port Adelaide today? We always go with the Crows first. But I've got to say, the first half last weekend was some of the best footy we've seen in a long, long time.
Unbelievable. Very, very dominant. Record score, Port's best quarter for the year, the first quarter. They just were relentless.
What I like about it, Bern, quite seriously, is what's happened over the last few weeks, doing it without a forward line.
Yep.
Well, you know what I mean when I say no forward line, to their key pillars.
Yep.
Although Todd Marshall was back, kicked five, which is very good. And also, no recognised ruckman, really. So then Scott Lysette came back in. No, but I'm talking about the previous weeks, right? If you look at the whole period over the last few weeks, it's been that's probably been the best part about it.
No, it has. And yeah, the offense, everyone thinks of the offense, the high scoring and the way you're moving the ball, but you're defending first, which is, your defense is unbelievable at the moment. All the defenders. Houston's getting on the back of that.
McKenzie's played well.
McKenzie's been so important for he's not a small, but he plays tall.
Undersized.
For his size.
We've found a player in Williams.
Yeah, Williams. He's another one going well. Rioli popped. How good were some of his goals? It was the most exciting half of footy I reckon I've seen for a long time. Bit different in the second half, but you were never going to lose
that
game.
Took the foot off the pedal a bit, Let's
have a listen to a couple of footy experts. Nathan Buckley first talking about Port Adelaide.
Midfield, Rosie, Butters. We know Wines is a Brownlow medalist and a champion. Horn Francis has gone in there. I think they're a clear top four side. I think if they go well enough and if they continue on their trajectory, they'll be a top two side. They'll get a couple of home finals.
And then Gary Lyon was just a little bit sus on a couple of areas.
A couple of little areas of concern. They get scored against a little bit, so points against. So the last 10 premiers have all been top six, points against from turnover. So the strength of them is they don't get exposed one-on-one defensively, so that's a great strength. The weakness is when they do, they can get scored against and they can lose a one-on-one contest. So I'm a big fan. I like what they're doing. It's great for the comp, but I'm just not as sold just yet.
So statistically, Port Adelaide, when they've got the ball and everything, is very good, like in the top four in the three areas. The area that they have to improve, and what Gary Lyon was talking about, is they can still get scored against, and there hasn't been a premier that hasn't been in the top six in the competition. That, at the moment, Port are 10th in that space. So if they can tidy up that area in the second half of the year, then they're an absolute legitimate flag.
Has he watched the last 9 weeks?
That's just the stats, Dits. That's all.
Hasn't heard him in the last 9 weeks. Has it?
So who have they been scored heavily against?
So they'll have to the way they're going at the moment, they'll have to break history.
So what Gary Lyon's saying is they're winning, but they're getting scored against as well. But they're scoring more than the opposition. If you're winning, I don't have a problem with that. Nathan Buckley saying they're a top two side. They're clear by two games in the second spot. They'd have to lose 3 weeks in a row to lose that spot. So I can't. They have to be aiming for top two now.
They got to. But
they have to.
If you want to be, you got to be tough about these things, though. Still have to beat Melbourne in Melbourne, Geelong in Geelong, Brisbane in Brisbane, Collingwood in Melbourne.
You don't have to beat Geelong in Geelong.
No, but I'm saying, to me, if you're a top two side, that's how good you have to be, don't you? You've got to.
Well, Ditch, you don't have to.
No,
if you finish top two, you get a home final. You
play Geelong in Adelaide.
Home prelim.
But when the whips are cracking.
Yes, grand final.
You have to win in Melbourne.
The big finals will be played in Melbourne.
Yeah, they will.
And that's who we have to beat at that level.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to have to beat
them. But you only have to beat them once in September.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right.
Just got to finish top two, though, Port Adelaide. Got to find a way to finish. I know there's a few games to go yet, and there are a couple of games clear, top two, but they've got to finish top two to win the flag.
What about the rumour Dits dropped on the breakfast show a couple of days ago?
Port Adelaide, which ruckman are they talking to right now from another club?
Is that a question you're asking us?
Yeah.
They're targeting a ruckman.
Yep.
You're asking me this?
From,
You just make out you're guessing.
Yeah. So a ruckman from a northern state.
Oh.
Mm.
Hello.
I've narrowed it down.
You think you know?
Yeah, I think I know.
Northern State.
Yep. And it's not the Gold Coast because I've looked at them. It's not Wits and it's not Moyle.
Brisbane.
Brisbane have been rucking. McInerney dominates in the ruck, as most of the time. And they've been using Danaher in that spot. They haven't got McStay there. The only ruckman on their list is Darcy Fort.
Oh, Darcy Fort.
Who played at Central Districts. He's not getting the game time.
Geelong,
he's quite good when he's at up forward. So he can play ruck and forward.
He's actually a good set shot.
I reckon he's a decent player, and he's not getting the game time there. So I think, I'm not sure if he's contracted or not, but he'd be craving more opportunity. So if Scott Lysett's not going to continue on, but who's to say? I mean, he'd definitely want to. And then the way he played on the weekend, he definitely will be able to. He's a bloke that is capable of being a number one ruckman.
If you're a ruckman at a club now that's not getting a game, you're not in a number one, I'd be screaming out to get to Port Adelaide. Mm. Wouldn't you? That's the only position open basically at Port Adelaide. You walk straight into a side that's flying. Not that you're going to do it this year, but a team that's right up, well, in the top two. There's a spot
and
there for you for
4 or 5 years.
Get there. I'd be doing anything I could if I was even a younger ruckman that's not getting a go. Or
well, he's 29, so he's mature.
Yeah, you got 5 years.
He's about to play his best football, and he's going to be hitting it to Rosie Butters and Horn Francis.
Such a big opportunity. Yep. I'd be doing everything I could. But just on Scotty Lysett, found it bizarre he got subbed out so early in that game.
Yeah,
dominated the first half.
It's strange, but are they trying to look after him? Or what?
I was on the boundary, and he got hurt in the middle of the game. He came off with a bit of a sore back at one point. He was getting some work on his back. I think they've got back-to-back six-day breaks coming up. I think they know how important he is.
So important.
I'm not sure they can win the flag without him. Maybe they could, but I'd rather have him in there being a big rough and tough ruckman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you use a little bit of Dixon and a little bit of
Finlayson
instead of flogging them. I'd leave him down forward to compliment Marshall.
I just thought it was a great opportunity. He was in the best probably three on the ground at half time. Got a heap of the footy. The spread from stoppage is the best I've seen for a while, so he's obviously feeling better. I just thought it was a great opportunity for himself as well, confidence-wise. There's no doubt when you get to his age and you get dropped out of the side for a period of time, you think, geez, is this it?
Yeah,
and you start having doubts. But when you have a first half like that, it was a chance to fill up some confidence for him too to finish off that game. I found it bizarre. No, they can't win the flag without him, Roo, to answer your question. So they were never going to lose that game. So if you're going to pull him out, you probably do it then. But I just thought it was a great opportunity to get some confidence back into him.
On the flip side, they needed to give Josh Sinn a bit of game time. And it was an opportunity for him in a game that was already won to get him out there early and take a bit of a risk. So they could have obviously taken any of the other 21 players if they didn't do Lysett, but good for him to get out there and have a run around. He's been underdone with groins over the last couple of years, hadn't been able to play, and he looked right at home when he got out there.
He did.
Tom Jonas, what happens?
Tough one. I don't think he comes back in, does he?
I can't come back in this week.
He played Sunday and they play Friday night. That counts against him.
Yeah.
Look, their forward line's more potent than Hawthorne's. Hawthorne only have the one tall, so that's why he only played two tall defenders last week. So it'd be a chance, because otherwise you're going to put Ryan Burton on one of the talls.
Hugo Hagen or someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it would have to be a matchup thing, because none of those guys were poor enough to drop him. So it'd have to be a matchup thing. But he's just got to make sure that he's the next in when there's an opportunity, if it's matchups, if it's form, that he's playing well enough to go straight back in. Because we all love him and we want him back in that side, but there has to be an opening. That's what happens when you're playing in a strong team.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon Dan Houston's in all Australian form too, by the way.
He's sneaking under the radar a bit. He uses the ball well.
I liked him from the first day he played. I thought he's just undervalued. He can play just about anywhere, and he's a beautiful kick. He kicks goals.
Takes marks.
He does everything.
Yeah. 20 and 2 goals again on the weekend.
I reckon he'd be the best undervalued player in the competition. I don't even reckon he'd be the sort of bloke that wouldn't even ask for too much money.
No.
he could ask for it, but I've got the feeling he wouldn't.
No.
Yeah,
Very nice. Just having my
nippies. Passionate about this. Just from his hometown.
Just need a little double shot iced coffee.
Oh, I like
Ditz has been making me fall asleep.
South Australia's very own Nippies has just released a new product. What is it, Bern?
It's Nippies Double Shot Iced Coffee.
Nice.
Now, you have fallen asleep in the creek bed a few times, so we'll wake you up.
Come on,
it's brand new, and it's in stores right now, Roo.
Wake up. Put her on top of the ladder. You're not dreaming, Ditz. They've won 9 in a row.
It's up.
Ken Hinckley's going to coach for 20 years. Jason Horne Francis is at the club. Zach Butters is going to win the Brownlow.
No way.
Todd Marshall kicked 5 last week. Dan Houston's All Australian.
Where's Dixon?
Shazza Dittmar. He's your cousin. All right, it's real. You're awake. You've had a double shot iced coffee. These are beautiful. Double espresso, double strong, made from real milk, and better still, it's made right here in SA.
Yeah, Nippies double shot iced coffee in stores now. Do yourself a favour and pick one up today. Let's have a look at the Crows' big occasion this Saturday.
This is Taylor Walker, 18-year-old, playing his first game of AFL footy. Time on. Opening term, MCG, and he's equal to the big stage in his first game. Taylor Walker kicks the first of his career.
Big fly, is that the skipper? It's a towering mark from Taylor Walker.
55 from home.
Just about nail it if he wanted to, if he got onto it.
He's got JJ one-on-one deep, he's going right for the big sticks. Rui gets onto it, it goes all the way. Texan.
Goes inside 50, loose in front of goal. Jenkins is there, now picking it up. Walker kicks a goal.
Texan with the Stevie J, left foot around the corner. One of the most skillful big blokes to play the game. He's got a sharp new hairdo.
Tex has got it on the wing. Take all the space, Tex, and ignore Jerker for Christ's sake. Texan, instead of that, look at the squaring tail. This man is genius.
Texan. They're going long here. They're outnumbered, Adelaide. They've got to bring it to ground.
So Walker.
Or market.
The Texan.
Walker from the boundary line. Tex, he kicks a goal. What an inspirational team lifting goal from the captain.
Texan, city end. Kick is good. So 300 career goals for Walker.
60. Tex, big, long, straight.
Come at the moment. Come at Tex.
Going back a long way here, Texan. What's he got for us? 500. He has just got it through. 500 for the Texan. Almost Tex. And then the snap. Oh. He's gone through. The man's a magician. One massive ear, one normal one. Gets his first. Re-signed. Asked for plenty and got
plenty.
Not that much. Gee, this next goal. How vital. Here how important. Go. As Keezer comes out of the middle for Adelaide. Goes all the way with the kick. And off hands. Walker. Oh!
What's happening?
Piss off, Tex!
There you go. 250 games for your close mate, Bern. He has been a real superstar of the game.
No, he has. Fantastic to hear some of that. Didn't Jim Brayshaw give it to him a few times? Yeah, good. Loves him.
Great caller.
No, he's a great entertainer, Tex. Been through a fair bit. More than probably others have had to in his career. Not too many lose their coach when they're as captain as well. So he's been through a fair bit. And made it was hard to get a game early on. Craigie made it pretty hard for him. People sort of forget
that now,
but looking back, it was probably the best thing ever for him. Made him work hard to get find his spot, because when he came in, he was ready. Then he did his knee as well. People sort of forget about that year he had off, and he had a few complications coming back.
What year was
that?
2013,
wasn't it? 20, about round 4, 2013. So we just come off losing the prelim in 2012 by 3 or 4 points to Hawthorn, and we thought it was just going to be like, if we keep going, and then we lose Tex round 3, and it was like, geez, what do we do now? Lost Tippo as well at the end of 2012, Kurt Tippett. So, and then we didn't even make finals in 2013. So then he obviously develops as a player then, and then, you know, not too many people would have picked him as captain or seen him as a future captain. You know, you get Mark Rusciuto comes into a side and you go, he's a future captain. Yeah. He'll be captain one day. There was never that spoken about Tex.
But it was actually a good call, though, wasn't
it? Great call. But he's a natural leader of men off the field. People just wanted to be around him. People loved him. And people tended to gravitate towards him and do what he was doing. So when you think it, when you look at those characteristics, that's a captain, isn't it? Yeah. So had to harness a few things, change his ways a little bit when he was captain, but he's the perfect man for the job. And then obviously what happened with Phil Walsh, he had to go through that and get his troops going again. And then, you know, he's been through a few coaches in his time as well. And then obviously the racism stuff as well, he had to deal with that and then obviously missed some games and come back, and now he's not captain, and he just looks like he's enjoying. I think he's
playing well.
We could all be honest enough to say, I reckon he surprised all of us on how well he's gone.
Mm.
You know, we probably all thought he was just about coming to the end, probably 3 years ago. Then he just, for whatever reason, whether that's having kids or having a different lease or new lease of life, he's reinvented himself, and now he's still the most important forward in that team. And if we go back 3 or 4 years, we never thought we'd be saying that. So he's just a guy that's enjoyed his footy the whole way. He's dragged others along with him, and I'm happy to call him a mate.
Well said.
Yeah, he's going well, and they're going to have a great weekend down at Adelaide Oval this weekend. And lucky he did have that week off, or he would have been playing his 250th in Darwin.
Well, maybe that's why he had it off.
There was a little bit of thought about that at some point. But it'll be a great weekend. There's merchandise that can be bought down at Crow Mania, down at the Adelaide Football Club, down at West Lakes. If Crows people out there want to get a bit of Tex memorabilia, whether it's hoodies or the range of gear that I've got, go to Crow Mania and dig that out. We got some jumpers delivered today, and they look fantastic.
Tell me they've got some face masks or something with a big wing nut hanging out. Please, I'm going to get a few of them. Come on, they always do that for someone.
You won't fit through the
gates.
If
you're listening out there, crowmania.com. Come on, whoever's down there, get a bloody big wing nut hanging out.
As Dit said, you'd be about to use that to pick up Sky Channel.
Hook your phone to it.
Yep, so it'll be a great week, and hopefully lots of good players play well in their big games, and certainly not talking down the West Coast Eagles, but it would be good for Tex to kick a lazy bag.
Yeah, Josh Kennedy style, you reckon?
Go,
not that it's Tex's last game, but a big game kicker.
Everyone loves playing well.
Everyone can kick it to him, Tex. You know, just kick it to him every time they get it.
If they get in front, you try and find a way to get at the big fella.
But on the flip side, Adelaide, disappointing. That's probably I'll put that in the Giants game and the Collingwood game as the most disappointing second half anyway. That little period where there was 9 goals in a row, had to do something to change something up, whether that's one behind the ball, an extra around the stoppage. I don't know. Had to stop the rot somehow because it just got away so quickly. It was the game was sort of...
Well, we kicked 9 in a row.
20 points down to 35
points.
35.
Well, there was a period, they got to 35. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
2 out of the last 3 weeks, they've been a bit poor.
Yeah. So is that on field? Can you stop that on field? There was half time in between that as well, but there was a stop in play.
Start of the third quarter is when it really started.
Yeah. The third quarter was when
the grass eater, Matty Rao, dominated the centre square. Yeah. In the first, he had 4 touches to quarter time. Mm. Keezy had done a great job.
Yep.
Keezy started outside the square in the forward 50 and went on to him afterwards. But he had 4 centre bounce clearances,
which is important,
in the first 5 minutes, and the ball went down to Lukosius and he was a bit too clever for him up forward. So they need to get better in that area. 2 times in 3 weeks they've been down. Are they tired? Are they poor on the road? Are they not strong enough?
So just on that, stats about away games, everyone points to it with the Crows. Is there something in it or is it coincidental? You know, I mean, has it been talked about, Roo? Is it something?
They're clearly not as good away as they are at home, but I think majority of sides are like that. I think their 1-4 ratio on the road looks worse than what it really is. Until they start winning on the road, that's, you know, people are going to talk about it. And if you're going to play finals, if you're going to push towards top 6 or top 4, you have to win on the road. It really shouldn't make any difference. You've got to look forward to it. And I know they spoke about leading up to the game on the weekend. They really wanted to win this, to get on the bogey.
7-12 before the round started.
How farcical the draw is. And I know you'll say, well, you just got to live with it and get on with it and play with it. But it is a joke. The Crow, round 11, the Crows haven't played in Melbourne yet. Round 11.
They've been to Ballarat.
Didn't realise that.
They've been Geelong.
To Geelong. But
they
haven't played in Melbourne.
Western Sydney. They've been to Tassie. So and now they've been to Darwin. They still got to go to the Gabba, and they still got to go to Optus.
How can you have a draw, Byrne? How can the draw be so bad like that?
Because they've been poor for 3 years, and the AFL makes no... doesn't even hide it. When you play poor, you're off Broadway, and you'll go on the road. And I bet you next year the Crows don't have to play in those spots.
So how many games do they play at the G? Because that's obviously
They play Collingwood there after the bye.
Yep.
And I think they might play Melbourne there later. Don't hold me to that.
So two games at the G.
The whole time I've played, Port get one at the G.
Yeah.
Since I played 30 years ago, that's happened every year.
Yeah.
And that's always been, you know, when the Victorians whinge about gather round or they whinge about something like that. Like the Crows or Port can be a dominant side, play one game for the year if they're lucky, and then expect to have to win in September at the MCG. Game.
What about the
where
day
they hardly ever play there?
Dimmer complained about having to play at Marvel.
Oh yeah,
but that's
embarrassing. Doesn't that tell you something about this bloody competition?
That was an embarrassing comment, and surely Brendan Gale would have said something to him about that. But the Crows need to respond. Tom Duday's out now, we know, with an ACL. Does that affect the Crows? Well, it certainly doesn't help them, but they've got Josh Worrell, who was unlucky to go out.
Yep.
They have got blokes like Mitch Hinge and Brody Smith and Max Michelani, who are very similar players.
Elliot Himmelberg, does he now say, right, I'm going to go as a defender? He's played there in the sample. He had a little sniff of it earlier in the year at AFL level. Can he play back? Because he's not getting a game forward.
It's nothing to do with Tom Duday being out.
No, well, for his career, does he say, right, I'm not, if he keeps going down this track and not playing in for 1 week, out for another six, only comes in every now and then, for his career, is it best for him to say, right, Nixie, I want to play Sanfu as a key back, I want to be a backman, and that's the way he's going to find his way into this AFL side.
If I'm Elliot Himmelberg, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
If I'm Elliot Himmelberg, I'm just going to dominate at the SANFL no matter where
as a forward, no matter where you play.
Well, just prove that you're good enough.
Yeah. I think there's an opening down back.
Well, he's got to knock out Butts or Murray.
I don't think Butts going that well.
Yeah, well, he's got to be good enough to knock it out.
I think he's got more hope of playing well down back in the SANFL and taking Butts's position, you could argue Duday's position.
Not going to play Duday's
position. Well, that's the sort of the third talk. That's more of a...
He's either going to... If Elliot Himmelberg's going to get a game in the back line, it's at the expense of Jordan Butts
Murray. I think that position is up for grabs. I don't think Butts is going that well at all. I think he's got more chance of coming and knocking Butts out than he's not going to knock Tex out. Fogg's not going that well, by the way, but I don't think he's going to knock Fog out, and Thilthorpe's going to play. I think he's got more chance of playing just for him personally to be a key defender.
Yep. No arguments from me there. So maybe you better ring Mickey Godden and tell him to play him down.
I've actually still got his number when I used to get dropped from the Crows.
back
to the Eagles.
They're going to bounce back against the West Coast Eagles this weekend in Adelaide.
All right, you've been listening to The Bump. Have a great weekend at the footy.
Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars. Triple M's The Bump. New from Nippy's Double Shot Ice Latte. It's double espresso, double strong. Now available in stores.